Good morning and welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. Bless the Lord this morning. What a beautiful morning we have to celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are so happy you joined us this morning from Facebook or YouTube Live. We're happy for those who are worshiping with us in the sanctuary. We're streaming live from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is our pastor. Amen. Amen. Hey, this morning we're celebrating Holy Communion, and this morning I invite you just for a minute just to give him some glory and some praise this morning. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name this morning. Amen. Bless the Lord this morning, Lord. Bless your name this morning, Lord. We thank you this morning, Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord, we ask traveling mercies for those that are still en route to us, and we look forward to a great time in the Lord. Hey, this is March, and we are celebrating Women's Month here at the Tabernacle. Yes, yes. I have a good crowd this morning. I can hear them. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. The theme for this month is a turnaround season. Amen. That's right. A turnaround season. And we want to worship and praise the Lord this morning. Amen. Hey, I invite you to get the things, if you are at home, that you set aside for Holy Communion as we're going to go into our Holy Communion service. First, I will be reading the scripture. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 34. And then we'll have our confession of faith by our Deacon Aaron Abrams, and then the prayer of consecration by our Deacon Todd McCoy. And following that, the next voice will be that of our pastor. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11, 18 through, let me rephrase that. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 34. I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why, many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. For if you were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not be result in judgment. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
That we have sinned against you in thought,
word
and deed.
By what we have done,
and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen. As the confession just said, most merciful God, thank you. Lord, you said that we should do this in remembrance of you. Create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us that we may do so. Lord, forgive us our sins and our transgressions, because we are not worthy in our own right to receive you. But Lord, through repentance, you are reconciling us. So as we take the bread which represents your body, we would receive you. That we would be a vessel worthy of receiving you and having you in us, transforming and renewing our minds and turning us around. That as we receive your blood, the blood that you sacrificed, we would be forgiven for not only the sins we are born in, but those, that disobedience that we have done throughout our lives. Lord, consecrate these sacraments and consecrate us, that we would receive you and remember your sacrifice. Remember your teaching. Remember that you are always in control. And remember that we should always follow you. Lord, that we would be worthy to receive you. Transform these elements right now and reconcile us unto you, that you would be glorified in this service, in this day, and throughout the remainder of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. With that, our pastor will be coming out in a moment. And for those of you at home, we hope that everything is prepared and ready. Amen. Let us receive our pastor.
Before we begin, what a pleasure it always is to have with us our sister Leah Reed. And this morning, she is going to be leading us in a solo. And then we'll come back for communion and then proceed into the Word of God. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as we celebrate these sacraments, it was nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Singing, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And for my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus, singing, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow, and no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For this is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Singing, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow, and no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Singing, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow, and no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank God, thank God. We thank God for Sister Leah Reed. What one of the old church favorites, right? Thank God for the blood of Jesus. We're also grateful that it is another first Sunday, and we're here in the house of the Lord to commemorate his death, his body that was offered up for us. So as you prepare, and hope everyone has their sacraments as they entered the sanctuary. Just reading a passage out of the Gospel of St. John, says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And that's the Gospel of John chapter 6, verses 53 through 58. We thank God for the words of our Lord. If you have your sacraments, let's go ahead and expose the wafer, representing the bread and representing the body of Christ. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, the scriptures tells us that he took bread and that he broke it and that he blessed it, as was his custom, gave to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body given for you. I say also the same to you. Shall we eat? On that same Passover evening, he also took the cup of thanksgiving, and after blessing it, he told his disciples, this represents my blood, which is shed for you. It is the new covenant established between you and God. he gave to his disciples and said, drink ye all of it. Shall we do the same? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in communion and in fellowship with you, with the Father, and with the Holy Spirit. We thank you that we are in fellowship with one another. And as you dwell in the Father, so the Spirit of God dwells in us, and together we are one. Father, we pray even as you prayed, Lord Jesus, make us one. Help us to think the same things. Help us to act in the same manner. And help us live according to your great example. Help us to walk worthy of the calling by which we have been called. Help us to walk worthy of the body of Christ by which we have been baptized into. So we thank you in advance for all things. Thank you for dying for our sins. Thank you for your resurrection power. So glad that you got up on that Sunday morning, so that we likewise one day may be resurrected in you. This is our hope, our prayer, and our confidence. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you and thank you. Before we turn to the Word of God, I do just want to first start out by saying thank you. I mentioned this on Wednesday evening, and I just wanted to reiterate how grateful I am for all of the positive comments that have come in as a result of last Sunday's presentation. Thank God for our walk through the book of the Song of Solomon. I'm just glad that it blessed you. And I'm also very grateful for my wife, for her participation as well. I think that was an added bonus. Amen. And we thank God for that. So we thank God for all things that took place leading us up till now. I also want to make mention how grateful I am for the women who were out on last Friday night for the prayer. Again, more positive comments coming out of that. Thank God for the women who were faithful and were here in prayer praying. Thank God for all of you who joined me in fasting on yesterday. Talking with a number of people who said they felt the power of the fast. And I thank God for that. I thank God that his spirit is alive and well and moving yet in the body of Christ. Amen. And of course, it's March and it's Women's History Month. And of all, as always, we're so grateful for the women in the church, for their contribution to this body, this local assembly over the years. Thank God for our spiritual heritage with Dr. Taylor and the matriarch and all of our women that are here serving in the church. We thank God for you. I'll leave that to the announcements. They have some exciting things lined up and planned for the coming months. Okay? So with that, let's turn our attention to the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be in Luke, the second chapter. I'm stressing that because I may have in my notes given the third chapter. That may be what they have on the big board, but I got it mixed up. It's the second chapter, okay? Luke, the second chapter, verse 36, and we're going to add to the witness out of the book of Titus, the second chapter, verses 3-5, okay? So Luke 2:36 and the book of Titus chapter 2 beginning at chapter 3. Amen. If you have those verses, I am going to invite you to stand with me as we read these short passages. Won't have you on your feet all morning. You'll be down before you know it. Amen. Luke chapter 2 verse 36. Familiar passage from the birth story of Christ. Luke 2:36 says, now there was one named Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel and of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. This woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Amen. Now let's just turn to the witness out of Titus, second chapter. What I'm going to do, I'm going to start at verse 1. Our key verses are verses 3 and 5, 3 through 5, but I'll just add verse 1 for context. And this is Paul writing to one of his sons in the Lord, Titus. He says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience." Now our key verses, "And the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, and teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." Amen. Amen. So that's what we're going to work from this morning. And what I want to do is talk from the subject, the obituary of Anna the prophetess. Okay? The obituary of Anna the prophetess. So we bow our head for a moment of prayer. Father in heaven, consecrate your word. Consecrate this, your manservant. Let your word go forth with truth and clarity, and that it might pierce the heart of the hearer and the believer. Lord, give us clarity, give us truth out of this word, that the body of Christ might be built up, and that we might be strengthened and made ready for the return of Christ to this world. This is our prayer we ask in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated all over the church. The obituary of Anna the prophet. The text says, "And there was Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, and of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. She lived with a husband for 7 years." Tells us that this woman was a widow of about 84 years of age. She never departed from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who look for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, all of this, as you may be familiar, is a part of the birth account as recorded and given by Luke, the birth of Jesus Christ. It starts early in that same passage, with the announcement being made first to the shepherds while they watched their flock in the fields. Secondly, it was revealed by the Holy Spirit to a man named Simeon that he would not die until he saw the coming of Christ, the physical birth of Christ. And then thirdly is this prophetess called Anna, okay? So that's kind of the context that we're working out of here. And again, the subject I want to work from is the obituary of Anna the prophetess. An obituary is a written announcement of someone's death. It usually describes the life and the personality of the person who has died, as well as the details of an upcoming funeral service. So again, an obituary, we know the term, but just to make sure we're all hanging on the same definition, it's a written announcement of someone's death. And it usually describes the life and personality of the person who has died. If you were to read the opening epilogue of Luke's letter to his dear friend Theophilus, he provides an obituary of sorts on the life and personality of the prophetess Anna. At the time of his writing, it is after the resurrection of Christ, and regarding this particular passage, which is at the beginning of Christ's life, safe to assume that at the time of this writing, Anna has died and gone home to be with the Lord. And unlike contemporary obituaries we find today, whether in a funeral service or in a memorial service, Luke's account of the life and personality of the prophetess Anna is short, sweet, and to the point. And let's take a few minutes this Sunday and just review the greatness of this woman of God, this seasoned saint, and this real mother in Israel. Okay? Just three verses. And Luke starts by saying, by informing us first and foremost that Anna was a prophetess. Okay? There are not many recorded prophetess in the Word of God. Only a handful in the Old Testament, and even fewer in the New Testament. But yet, Anna is recognized not only by the writer of this letter, but also by the priest and religious leaders of her day as a prophetess. And by that, we simply mean she was a woman who spoke God's word and was a teacher, a recognized teacher of the Old Testament in the temple compound. Okay. So she was a prophetess. Then Luke goes on to tell us she was the daughter of Phanuel, and that they were of the tribe of Asher. Okay. The tribe of Asher, and you may not know this as relative to its place in our history, but the tribe of Asher is one of the lesser known tribes of Israel, right? If we were to begin naming the tribes of Israel, we would start out Judah and Levi and Benjamin. Those are the more popular names, the more familiar names, the names we have seen more often throughout the biblical record. But not much is said of the tribe of Asher or of any of its descendants. And so Luke is telling us that this prophetess is from a small and unknown tribe in Israel. Okay? Then he goes on to say that she was of great age. Okay? We see in this verse and also in the next verse that at the time of the birth of Christ, she was 84 years old. Okay? So she was of great age. She is what we would call an older woman, a more senior, a more seasoned woman. Okay? Then going on, he goes on, he tells us that she lived with her husband for 7 years. Okay? She had what you and I would call a short marriage. She wasn't married very long. Okay? Being married as a young girl, given in marriage, probably by her parents. The Bible doesn't tell us who her husband was, not of note or any fame. But the only thing they tell us about their union is that it only lasted 7 years, right? And in the context of the concept of marriage, it should last for a balance of a couple's lifetime. But for Anna, she did not have the privilege of a long marriage. Okay? You follow me? Then he goes on to tell us, if this is not an obituary, it sure feels like one, right? Then he goes on to tell us she's what? A widow. Okay? A widow that had a 7-year marriage. It ended. And now for the balance of her adult life, she lives alone. Because also implied in this text, it's not specifically stated, but as a result of her living at the temple, it is implied that she is also childless. Okay? So she's an old woman who has had a short marriage and never had the joy or the benefit of giving birth either to a son or to a daughter. Okay? Are you following me? So she's lived the majority of her life alone. Okay? And then it says that she never departed from the temple. She never departed from the temple, one, in that under the Old Testament custom, for those that were classified as I think they said in Timothy, true widows, they were allowed to live or be given residence at the temple, seeing that they had no husband or no family or no son. And so her circumstances put her there, but also she was a woman who sought constantly after the presence of the Lord. And despite her circumstance being a widow, despite her physical condition being childless, Anna was always not only present at the temple, but always serving in the house of God, serving even in either in her recognized capacity as a prophetess or just serving the needs of those coming in and out of the temple compound for worship. Isaiah tells us in the 54th chapter, he says, "Do not fear, for you will not be made ashamed. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. And he is called the God of the whole earth." And that's Isaiah 54, verses 4 and 5. Now, going into the conclusion here of this, again, short but sweet obituary, Luke has told us not only is Anna a prophetess, he now informs us that she was a woman of prayer. It says there that she served the Lord, she served God with prayers and fasting night and day. How many of us are grateful for women we know who are committed to a life of prayer? Amen. Looking back over my own life, I know I'm thankful so many women of prayer interceded on my behalf. And Paul tells us that Anna, not only was she a prophetess, she was a woman of prayer. He goes on to tell us that when she came into the temple and now saw the baby Jesus being held by Simeon, is that she was a woman of praise. Luke tells us that in that instant coming in, she immediately began to give thanks unto the Lord, right? So she's a prophetess. She's a woman of prayer. She's a woman of praise. And then lastly, Luke tells us that she is a woman of proclamation. Immediately seeing the child, she not only goes into praise, but immediately begins to tell everyone, not only at the temple compound, but as she goes about throughout the city of Jerusalem, she begins to proclaim the glad tidings that the Messiah has come. You follow me in that? Anna was one of the godly remnant in Israel, who through centuries, even in the dark days before the coming of Christ, look for the day spring of Israel to come from on high. And so as she entered the temple and heard Simeon's praise for the prophecy fulfilled, she went out to her friends to declare with great joy the glad tidings. Faith through her long years of waiting was rewarded, and she became the first female herald of the incarnation to all who lived in Jerusalem. in Anna, we have an example of an aged female's waiting faith. Okay? I'll say it again. In Anna, in the prophetess Anna, we have an example of an aged female's waiting faith. Blessed are all those, both men and women, who wait patiently and prayerfully for the second coming of Christ, even as Anna waited for his first advent. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. And so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. But here it is, to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time. Okay? This time apart from sin, but for salvation. And so this is the hope that we under this age of grace have, even as Anna and the women of Israel had the hope of seeing the coming Messiah in Israel during his first advent. We now all wait eagerly and anxiously for our Lord to appear, as the Hebrew writer said, a second time. And so I thank God for women like Anna. Because when I think about women like Anna, I also think about women like Dr. Carrie Taylor, our founding pastor, who taught me and many others how to fast and pray. Know about you, but I thank God for women like Anna. When I think about women like Anna, I think about women like matriarch Lucille Ford, who showed many women how to love the Lord with all their soul, might, and strength. Can I get a witness to that? I thank God for women like Anna, because when I think about women like Anna, I think about women like Mother Mary Radcliffe, who presently is a living example of how to serve the Lord with gladness and purity of heart. Can I get a witness to that one? I don't know about you, but I thank God for women like Anna, because when I think of women like Anna, I think of women like Sister Pauline Lowry, whose generosity and spirit of encouragement has uplifted countless young people over the years, right? Can I get a witness? Thank God for women like Anna, because when I think about women like Anna, I think about our own Mother Trainee Williams, who is a woman of great dedication, both to her natural and her spiritual family, who possesses an incredible smile and always has a pleasant disposition. I thank God for women like Anna. Because when I think about women like Anna, I think about our own Mother Barbara Wook, who, like Anna, is a prophetess and one who knows, studies, and shares the Word of God. And if you don't believe me, you call her one day and tell me how long you stay on the phone with her. Why? Because she will share the Word of God, whether she's here in the house or on the phone. I thank God for women like Anna, because when I think of Anna, I think of women like Sister Margaret Timothy, who never fails to bring a spirit of laughter and joy into the church. I thank God for Sister Margaret. I want her at every funeral I go to, because she always brings joy and laughter into the house of God. I know I got a witness on that. I thank God for women like Anna, because they remind me of women like Sister Darlene Presley, who has a great love for both the older and younger generations in our church,
and always blesses them with something from her sweet bag of treats and candies. My kids got so many cavities from Sister Darlene, and always she always had candy given out, but we thank God for her. Thank God for women like Anna in closing, because she reminds me of a woman like Sister Donna Reese, who always encourages and enhances our Wednesday night prayer and Bible study. If you're on there, you know what I'm talking about. In conclusion, I thank God for all of these women. Not only have they blessed my life and the life of our church, but they have also accepted the challenge of Titus chapter 2. And they are active in teaching the younger generation of women how to love their husbands, how to love and raise their children, showing them how to be discreet, chaste, and godly homemakers, such that the word of God may not be blasphemed. I don't know about you, but I thank God that the spirit of Anna is alive and well in the house of God. Even as Anna blessed her generation, so these women are today blessing the generation that is here now. Thank God for women like Anna. God bless you, Taylor.
Amen. Thank God for the spirit of Anna. Amen. 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 Hey, I wasn't prepared, Pastor. That was a quick, big sermon. Amen. 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 I was ready to settle it, and he was gone. All right. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hey, today, if that moved you, if you'd like to learn more about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you can repeat this simple prayer with me. Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I am trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that his shed blood, death, and resurrection provides for me for forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving and forgiving me from my sins today. Amen. We believe if you prayed that simple prayer, you are saved by grace. Amen. Hey, and if you have accepted salvation today, we invite you to let us know that notify us, through our website, www.taylortabernacle.com. Hit the contact button and let us know I'm interested in becoming a Christian, and we will contact you. Someone from this ministry will contact you as soon as possible and help you in your walk of faith. Amen. On your journey. Amen. If you have any prayer requests, you can also post them through this website under the prayer request button, or you can call the church at 215-748-4578 and leave a message. And once again, someone from this ministry will get back to you right away. Hey, we're going to transition into our time of giving. Thank you, sister. Thank you, Sister Kim. Thank you, Sister Kim. Hey, it's offering time in the tabernacle. Amen. Amen. And our Deacon Todd McCoy is going to come along and do. Oh, I'm sorry. It says you. All right. Our sister Shanita is going to come and do offering. Following that, her sister's going to pop up. Sister Courtney is going to come up and give us Women's History Month. Okay. I got you. Now I see. Okay. That's me. That's all me. All right. Offering, and then we're going to transition right into announcements. Amen? Amen.
To the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of five ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, Cash App, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR, 61 to the phone number 73256 and you receive a link with instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor's Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Venmo. The Venmo tag is at Taylor-Tabernacle-6309. And then a Cash App is $Taylor Tabernacle. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for your tithes and offering and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelope in the basket as you exit the sanctuary. You may now give an offering to our pastor via Cash App or Venmo. Cash App is $Pastor Jonathan Ford, and Venmo is at Jonathan-Ford25. As always, we thank you for your continued support in our ministry. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Now I'm going to move to our announcements. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook, YouTube Live, so you can continue to join us in worship from your home. Well, you could join us in the sanctuary. Amen. Remember to hit subscribe right here on YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all the upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you. When you decide to join us in person in worship, please take your temperature. And if you are sick, stay at home. To our announcement, prayer and Bible study Wednesday night at 7 o'clock p.m. And you will be using the Google link to log on. Sunday school is now from 8:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. via Google Meet. Listed below are the links. So we have our primary class, which is age 4 to 8. We have our junior class, which is 9 to 12. And we also have our teen class, which is 13 to 17. And Sunday school, again, is from 8:30 to 9 o'clock. And they use the Google link. Reminder, we are fasting from red meat. Oh, God. For Lent season. Monday through Saturday. Sunday, you are free to eat anything you would like. Amen to that. Women's Month event. Because it is Women's Month. Our theme. Yay. Our theme is a turnaround season. Amen. I think we all need a turnaround season. So let's. The events that are lined up, please write them in your calendar. We have Saturday, March 18th. A women conference here at Taylor's Tabernacle from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. with Prophetess Angel Thomas. Amen. If you plan to attend, please see Sister Lillian Jones or our lovely Sister Barbara Williams. So we have a head count. Light lunch will be served, will be provided. Amen. To the light lunch. Sunday, May 19th, we have our Prophetess Angel Thomas as our guest speaker. Amen. Immediately following our morning service, we will be in the Garden Community Cleanup Day. This event is sponsored by Taylor's Tabernacle, Turning the Tide, and Macy's. Lend a hand preparing for the upcoming planting season, learning how to plant a window box garden, and learn a few scrumptious recipes. So come prepared to get dirty. Special announcements. This morning we are excited to announce the start of our third year in the church garden. We want your input on what fruits and vegetables you would like to see this year. Watch your email for a 1-minute survey. We want to hear your thoughts and look forward to seeing you for a great year in the garden. Sunday, March 26th, Girl Scouts Day. Amen. We'll be celebrating our Girl Scouts past and present. I'll do the Girl Scout announcements. Okay. Girl Scout cookie season has not come to an end for our sister Kennedy McCoy. Good job. She has sold a total of 750 boxes. I believe three came from me, myself. So thank you for all your support. Zoe and Zaya will continue to accept cookie share donations. Please click on the link or reach out to our sister Zakiya Price. And again, thank you for supporting our Girl Scouts. Next, we'll have my lovely sister come up and do the, was it Women's History Month? Amen. So, to kick off our Women in History, we're going to talk about Sister Fannie Lou Hamer. Fannie Lou Townsend Hamer rose from humble beginnings in the Mississippi Delta to become one of the most important, passionate, and powerful voices of the civil and voting rights movement and leader in the efforts for greater economic opportunities for African Americans. In 1961, Hamer received a hysterectomy by a white doctor without her consent while undergoing surgery to remove a uterine tumor. Such forced sterilization of black women as a way to reduce the black population was so widespread it was dubbed a Mississippi appendectomy. That summer, Hamer attended a meeting led by civil rights activist James Foreman of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, or the SNCC, and James Bevel of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Hamer was incensed by efforts to deny blacks the right to vote. She became a SNCC organizer and on August 31, 1962, led 17 volunteers to register to vote at the Indiana-Mississippi Courthouse. In 1964, Hamer's national reputation soared as she co-founded the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party, the MFDP, which challenged the local Democratic Party's efforts to block black participation. Hamer and other FMDP members went to the Democratic National Convention that year, arguing to be recognized as the official delegation. When Hamer spoke before the Credentials Committee, calling for mandatory integrated state delegations, President Lyndon Johnson held a television press conference so that she would not get any television airtime. But her speech, with its poignant descriptions of racial prejudice in the South, was televised later. By 1968, Hamer's vision for racial parity in delegations had become a reality, and Hamer was a member of the Mississippi's first integrated delegation. She announced her candidacy for the Mississippi House of Representatives, but was barred from the ballot. Frustrated by the political process, Hamer turned to economics as a strategy for greater racial equality. In 1968, she began a pig bank to provide free pigs for black farmers to breed, raise, and slaughter. A year later, she launched a Freedom Farm Cooperative, FFC, buying up land that blacks could own and farm collectively. With the assistance of donors, including farmed singer Harry Belafonte, famed singer Harry Belafonte, she purchased 640 acres and launched a coop store, boutique, and sewing enterprise. She single-handedly ensured that 200 units of low-income housing were built. Many still exist in Ruleville today. The FFC lasted until the mid-1970s as its heyday. It was among the largest employers of Sunflower County. Thank God for Miss Fannie Lou Hamer. Amen.
All righty. Ladies in the house, make some noise. It is our month to celebrate. Amen. And we hope you're going to come out and partake on the 18th for our women's conference. Please invite a friend, a family member, a sister, a coworker. If you have not heard Prophetess Angel Thomas, you have missed a treat. So we look forward to hearing from her on the 18th and 19th of this month. Don't forget to RSVP so we can prepare for you, all right? Amen, amen. The next voice we'll hear be that of our pastor with the benediction.
Hey, that's all outstanding and exciting news. Thank God for what the women have planned and are doing this month. Now, so if you didn't figure it out, the slant on my sermon this morning was for and towards older women in Christ. And Anna was a great example of that. And as such, not only did I want to highlight those that serve in our local body and in our fellowship, but I also wanted to give them flowers, right? We always said give flowers while folks are yet living. So we brought all these flowers for all the women that we had mentioned in my sermon. And me and Tyrone were in there having a laugh because none of the women are here. So he was like, Pastor, what am I going to do with all these flowers? I said, well, we'll figure it out. But even though they're not here, I know they're watching. So know that your pastor gave you flowers today. They may or may not get to you, but we gave you flowers today just as in a way, especially as a pastor, of an appreciation for your contribution to the body of Christ. Paul, in his admonishment to Titus, who was serving as that local pastor, he was encouraging them. You go down that list, he really hits all the groups, the older men, the older women, the younger men and the younger women, and how they ought to conduct themselves in the body of Christ. So we thank God for that teaching, and we thank God for those women who serve in our church. So with that, shall we stand? We'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that we have had today to gather around the Lord's table again, and to once again remind ourselves of our unity through the blood of Jesus Christ. So as we depart this place, but not your presence, let your spirit go with us, and let it abound and dwell richly inside our hearts. Help us to be an example to our generation and those like us and those of our age and similar background. Let us be lights representing the Son of God and cause men and women to turn and give their life to you. So this is our prayer request. We ask it now in the conclusion of this worship service. Be glorified. Get glory to yourself and to your name. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. God bless you, Taylor.